A reading from the book of Kings. The Lord said to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you." Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you." Elijah answered, "Go back. Have I done anything to you?" Elisha left him, and taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh and gave it to his people to eat. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, for freedom, Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With you.
And with your spirit.
The reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As I mentioned before, I have so many memories, good memories, of Monsignor Blasett. And he'd always tell this story, you know, we get back to ordinary time, and in this sea cycle, you know, right away we're given those questions of our Lord, you know, "To follow me," says our Lord. And so Monsignor usually would start, "Well, there's a story about a priest. And this gospel was just read, and everybody sat down for the gospel. Then he stood there and he looked at them and he said, I want every one of you that wish to go to heaven to stand up. And of course, everyone stood up. And he said, okay, please sit down. And he said, now, those who wish to go to hell, you stand up. And everybody looked at each other. Then all of a sudden, one man stood up in the back and he says, young man, why are you standing? And he said, well, Monsignor, I didn't want you to be the only one. But we all want to go to heaven. But you know, to get there, we have to be loyal. Loyal to Christ. We have to be committed. And today's readings really focus on those subjects of loyalty, of commitment. It was in that second reading that St. Paul said, he talks about the Galatians' loss of moral commitment. Stop biting and devouring one another. He had been there in Galatia, and they became Christians following Christ, and then later they turned. They turned their back on God. And Paul is nailing them for that. And then we hear in the gospel, our Lord says to different people, follow me. And every one of them has an excuse. Follow me. Well, one says, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Another says, Lord, first let me say farewell to my family. And our Lord says, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, that strong language. Now, yes, we are to care for our parents if they're elderly. Yes, we are to, again, have that love for our family. But it's so profound that the question is God first in my life? I think that's so important when we ask ourselves the question, God, are you first in my life? And it really begs the question, what excuse, Lord, is keeping me from a deeper commitment to you? What excuse do I give in my life? What have I given in my life to follow you? I look at my vocation to the priesthood, and I was one more season. You know, one more season is what I was basically saying quietly in my heart. Did not want to really let go and let God in that sense. I think what we all struggle with in this deeper commitment to Christ, we struggle with permanency. Permanency. We live in a disposable culture, throwing away things, paper plates, cups, what have you. We're in a throwaway society. And that really transitions to our relationships. It's too easy to give up a relationship maybe. This throwaway culture, the last almost 50 years, has thrown away life. With the recent findings with the Supreme Court, that gives us hope. That gives us great hope not to be a throwaway society. We do throw away and want to get rid of things so readily. If it gets hot, if our going gets hot or whatever, I don't know what's that saying, get out of the kitchen, or people get out of the kitchen if it gets hot. But we do. That mentality is really found in our relationships, and it's not just with other people, it's with our relationship with God as well. There's a commitment that we struggle with at times. There's a commitment to God, and we see that in vocations to priesthood, to consecrated life, to marriage. We see that commitment to marriage
again, the opportunity to echo those words of for better or for worse, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. I think so many couples, it was awesome when I was a master of ceremonies to have the 50th anniversary celebration. It was powerful, and not only just 50 years at the cathedral there for Mass, Holy Mass, but it's 55 years, it's 60 years. I remember the usher came to me and said, Father, there's a couple celebrating 75 years of marriage. And I said, my gosh, where's the hospital beds? And they said, no, Father, and they walked in. And I said that to the bishop, and oh my gosh, he was just shocked and that they were sitting right there in front. Each of them walked in with a cane. And I thought, wow, so to live that long just in their marriage. But 75 years of marriage, it was always a very powerful moment to look out and to see these couples embracing, yeah, for better, for worse, in good times and in bad, sickness and in health, till death do us part. Now, granted, there's some marriages, yes, that don't work. You know, somebody's not committed. Somebody wants out and what have you, and it was getting hot in the kitchen, so to speak. But I think we look at that, and it's an opportunity that I've always done to tell couples that, yes, you make a commitment for life, and that's making it through the ups and downs, through the good times and through the bad. And that dynamic that we have here in our own human relationship, it's the same dynamic that we have in our relationship with God. My relationship with God, do I throw him away, so to speak? That dynamic. And it brings us to a commitment. It ultimately brings us to the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, it's in that garden. It's in that passion of our Lord. Not that I'm saying marriages go back to the Garden of Gethsemane all the time. But it's in that passion of our Lord that he says, yes, Father, if it be your will, you know, please take this cup from me. And we can look at that and embrace that. But then we have to listen on and pray on with our Lord saying, Father, but yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus follows with that, with those powerful words of not my will, but yours. It's awesome talking to couples that have been married for that long and just really going back to not necessarily their struggles, but the times where, you know, I could look at our own family and where we're having pancakes, you know, for supper, and we're thinking, wow, that's a treat for us, knowing later that it was so inexpensive to have pancakes for supper feeding five kids. But it is. It's sometimes we want to say, take this cup from me, Lord, but not follow with, but not my will, but yours. Priesthood is just like marriage. I got a bigger family than most people. But it is. It's a struggle at times. A lot of you know I do not like to be alone. So I'm in priesthood living by myself in a house, what have you. But to follow our Lord with that. Marriage, I know, is the same way. And then you all heard Archbishop Fulton Sheen talk about the three rings in marriage. You know, yes, the engagement ring, the excitement. Yes, the marriage, the honeymoon, the wedding ring. Yes, that excitement. And then comes the supper ring. So... I thought I'd shared that with you before. I think I was reminded of that just the other day. But yes, Archbishop Sheen talked about, yes, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the supper ring, that yes, you will endure some suffering. So yes, it's, yes, Father, take this cup, but not my will, but yours. The suffering of those who are in married life, vocation to the priesthood, the single life, they're suffering. Yeah. All of our vocations are not easy, and it does begin with a honeymoon, with that excitement, especially if you're coming into the church, those people, it's still, I tell them, I still see the glow on them. But yes, it should be filled with, yes, Lord, in my relationship with you, it's for better, for worse, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, until death do us part? No. Until death do us meet. That's our relationship with God. What am I going to be like when I take my last breath? In death do us meet, Lord. That it's not going to be, in your case, my husband or my wife, my children. No, it's you and God. You and God judging you. So examine that life. My gosh, and if you get scared, get to the confessional. That's an opportunity, I think, for us to set aside particular commitments. Yeah, priesthood, wedding, marriage, single life, what have you. And concentrate on that commitment with our Lord Jesus. But again, because after we die, we're going to be judged by God. Let's not be a throwaway society. Let's take this great challenge now that's presented to us from Friday's decision. Let's take this great challenge and just carry it even further. That life is so precious to us. What excuse am I having? What excuse is keeping me from a deeper relationship with Christ? I think I shared this with you before, the story of the three devils. Or maybe I just remember it from Monsignor Blassett. He talked about the story of the three devils, talking about how to get us over to their side. And the first devil said, you know, I just convinced them that there's no heaven. I convinced them that there's no heaven, and if they don't think there's a heaven, then I got them. Then I got them. They have no hope. The second one says, I convinced them that there's no hell. So they doubt, and they don't think that, yeah, there's no hell. So then they don't think there's consequences for their actions, and then I got them. The third devil says, I have a way that is foolproof. It's bulletproof. I just tell them that there's no hurry, and I have them the whole time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. I confess from baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. Gathering our hearts and our petitions into one, we now offer them up to our Heavenly Father.
For unity and peace within the Catholic Church on earth, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For true liberty among the different peoples and nations of the world, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who make excuses to escape the demands of faith in God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick, the dying, the imprisoned, the homeless, the unemployed or the underemployed, and the addicted, May the relief and peace they need be met with the caring support of others. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our divided nation, may the unifying force of God come upon all peoples and help us to see those we disagree with not as our enemies, but as brothers and sisters in the one true God. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
In thanksgiving for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, for the conversion of the hearts of those who are pro-choice, and for the patience and understanding in the challenges we will face going forward, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of our beloved dead, and for the special intention of this Mass, the Malico children, that they may be drawn into the most sacred heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And Heavenly Father, as we draw our hearts to the heart of your Son Jesus, may we be strengthened by the heart of Mary. Her yes, may we be strengthened also in our commitment to you, in our deeper relationship with you. May we say yes to your will. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Please join us in our hymn of preparation, the servant song. The music can be found on page